Tara Lynn.
And this is Emilia. Welcome to Bedsnacks and Bullshit, our intersection of real-life anecdotes with gallows and self-deprecating humor, trauma bonding, the journey to surviving and thriving, and all the bullshit in between.
Buckle the fuck up, because it's a wild ride. We will discuss explicit content, so listener discretion is advised.
Highly advised.
Enjoy!
Everyone,
welcome back to Bed Snacks and Bullshit.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
So we're gonna start today off with a meme I found, and by it's a Band-Aid.
Yeah, I see that.
It's a second skin Band-Aid.
Oh, okay.
I stole it from you.
I thought you had something stuck to you. No, not like on purpose.
That's just
like a Band-Aid.
Nope, that's just brown.
No, I thought it was like a fucking piece of tissue or something.
You know what? You're not, you know who I am as a person.
Right, so. Exactly.
So, it was made into a meme, but I don't think it's a meme, but anything with a picture and words is a meme for
okay,
me.
Okay, I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Sorry if you keep hearing me sniff. I got a bloody nose before we started recording, and it's obnoxious. Anywho, raccoons have been trying to break into cyber trucks.
They look like trash cans.
And there's some speculation that this is because the raccoons are literally confusing them with dumpsters. Look at the picture. Because that's how the trunk lifts, is like a dumpster. And that's... I'm here for it.
Wow. They literally broke pieces of it trying to pry it open. That is fantastic.
I mean, everyone's been shitting on the Cybertruck for numerous reasons. The reason I dislike it the most is more like, you know, when way back when when we would have like a newspaper.
Yes.
Yes, we still get newspapers, but I'm talking about
Shani, I remember the times of the newspaper.
But like the part on the comics when they would have the section that was like, join this artist contest, draw, you know, your rendition and to win. Yeah. And then they just made it into a real thing. So it just looks like someone asked a kid to draw what he thought a future car would look like, and that was the result.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's very upsetting.
You know what? I think you're probably onto something with that. So, yeah. Well, today's episode...
Which we're recording on your birthday. Happy birthday! Yay!
Thank you! 35. Thank you. Thank you.
Don't worry. I thought you were 33 again.
For a 30-year scoop, I'll take it. I have already spent my birthday getting blood work done, getting ultrasounds done, so not quite the poke and prodding that I really wanted today for my birthday, but, you know.
Your husband did say you could wake him up at any point.
He did.
And then
he
immediately went to my room.
Yeah, because he's a dirty bastard, but anyway. Yeah, so did that. We are planning on leaving on Monday, the 22nd, for Colorado. So we'll be there for 3 weeks. So if there are some weeks where we don't have content to post, we apologize in advance.
But we are going to try to still have content to post, even if it's just me.
Correct.
Talking to you guys because I'm lonely because she left me for 3 weeks.
Correct, exactly. And then I'm going to have to give her a crash course in uploading everything and editing and whatnot.
And I'm sure there will be absolutely nothing that goes wrong with that.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all. Mm-mm. It's going to be seamless.
Hey, my ADHD medication is at the pharmacy filled.
Good. I'm very happy about that.
Hey, listen.
So, again, today we are going to talk about... breaking up with jobs.
And this is that part of the podcast where you're going to actually hear her voice a lot more than mine. because the few times I have broke up with a job were never professionally. And, you know, there was like strongly worded emails the time I walked out mid-shift and the time I almost punched a grown man in the face. So
Cool.
Let's pass the mic to you, dear.
All right. Sounds great. So I have quit jobs because typically for moving up the ladder, so to speak, or moving on professionally. So, aka babysitting to working at my adoptive dad's company as doing administrative assisting. And then, you know, going into college, being a CNA, which is certified nursing assistant, doing a short stint at Dunkin' Donuts, because who hasn't worked at Dunkin' Donuts in their fucking lifetime?
If you're from New England.
Right. So, and then I worked professionally as a nurse for 2 years before we moved out of New England. So that was kind of my first job to be like, I'm fucking ready and I'm sick of this job, but also have the excuse of getting to move, but I still, you know, did it in a professional, nice way.
Can we remind the viewers? I'm going to continue to call them viewers. That are good. Listeners. Okay. Why you moved and...
Yeah, I'm going into that.
Okay, I was just saying because you had done like a blurb about the different reasons you would quit, and I thought that would also be a major one.
Yeah. I'm getting there. Fine. So, yes, with that first one, Alex and I moved because he commissioned as an officer in the Air Force. So his first base was down in Florida. So I really had wanted to quit that job anyway, but now had the excuse of, cool, we're moving, so fuck this shit anyway. And then when we had to move again to Louisiana, I decided to go PRN with that job, because they wanted me to work full-time remotely, but I couldn't do that because at that point I was working on my master's degree in forensic nursing. So I actually stayed on with them for 5 years total, and a majority of it was working from home. So taking the equipment, traveling, at one point I was traveling back and forth for jobs, but I kept several of my jobs. So when we were in Louisiana, I completed my master's and I became a sexual assault nurse examiner. So fast forward, like six-ish months or so, we then went to Mississippi. And I decided to keep my remote job and then my sexual assault nurse examiner job so that I could just keep up with my clinical expertise and my clinical practice. Plus, having a job just for 6 months in Mississippi wasn't really feasible. I mean, it was, but it really wasn't anything that I was really wanting to do. Plus, that position was for a sexual assault nurse examiner position, but you had to be working the floor as an ER nurse. And then if a case came in, you had to figure out who was going to take your other patient caseload and then perform that case. And I was like, fuck that shit.
Sounds like double dipping, and I did not know that. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, it sucks. So I feel for the nursing staff who work down there as a forensic nurse. But in just that part of Mississippi, I don't know how the rest of Mississippi rolls. But Unfortunately, that can be pretty common in a lot of forensic nursing jobs, and I think that just puts more wear and tear on your nurses too, and just fucking signs them up for burnout. So I inadvertently signed myself up for burnout by traveling from Louisiana to Mississippi. And that was a rough year. I definitely had taken it hard and had a probably very small mental breakdown. It didn't require like hospitalization or anything, but I was wasted and I was telling Alex like to leave me and go to Texas and take all the pets, and it was very dramatic. Do I remember any of it? Absolutely not.
So you pulled a me.
I pulled a you, and I decided to go swimming in the bathtub that night. So that's how it was.
Is a common occurrence in your drunken state.
Which apparently is my MO. I like to drink and then take a bath. So, yeah. So then, really, those, obviously, from Louisiana to Texas, I couldn't keep that forensic nursing job. So, excuse me, again, due to moving, I did resign from that position. And then I've actually seen a lot of those coworkers since at like conferences and stuff like that. I still keep in touch with a really good friend from Shreveport who we did it together with. She was pretty much my mentor and orienting nurse who I was with almost all the time. So then the work from home job, I actually kept that one until I could get into the forensic nursing position at one of the local hospitals in Texas. So that took a couple months to kind of just get everything in together in place. I had already been messaging that program coordinator since like before we moved from Mississippi, so I already had those connections made. Really just found all of these places and different opportunities, you know, Google search and looking on my resources for forensic nursing positions. So, you know, whatever position you have, don't forget you also have those resources available to you, whether it be LinkedIn or Indeed, whatever. And then I decided to sit for my sexual assault nurse examiner pediatric certification, which is another international certification that I hold, and it's specifically for the prepubescent population. So when I got that, I actually picked up a job at the children's hospital and decided, okay, remote work is, I can't have three jobs right now. So I resigned from the work from home job, and I actually forgot in the meantime I was doing pediatric home health care for medically unstable children, and I was doing that to keep up my pediatric clinical expertise, because in Louisiana I could practice on any person of any age. But in Texas, where I was, they had two separate programs, so required two separate jobs, which was fine. And then we obviously moved from Texas to Kansas, and that was another resignation by move sort of situation. So when I resigned from those jobs, the adult program that I was at, I was actually in the program coordinator position. I was in that for a short period of time before I had to move. And I say I had to because Alex stayed in Texas for 2 months because his packet did not go up in time. So I lived the bachelor life in Kansas for 2 months by myself, which was a time. And yeah, so I essentially helped that program coordinator get acquainted, and I was working from home doing that job as well. So I was doing that kind of part-time PRN, and then I was also working full-time nights and cleaning a house that had been smoked in for 20 years, and it was not cleaned for probably at least 5. So as you can see a pattern for myself, it has always been very work-oriented, goal-oriented, and very career-driven, which kind of brings us to 2021, pretty much. Because that was kind of when Alex and I were, so that was when we were getting settled here. Amelia came and visited for her birthday.
Hi.
And that was really when we started talking about having kids and being more purposeful about having children and seeing where it took us. Excuse me. Well, it wasn't happening. And, you know, in 2022, early 2022, Alex was like, well, if we want to be like super, super serious about this and start to actually like do, sorry guys, planned intercourse and check like cervical mucus and all like the fucking nitty gritty stuff of trying to have a baby without it just coming naturally. He was like, I want to get genetic testing done. And I was like, well, that's cool, but we can't get genetic testing done without a fertility physician. So he got an order from his PCM for both of us to see a fertility specialist. We had a consult with a doctor here local to Kansas, and we were doing all the testing. My stuff came back okay. Alex's counts were very low. He did a round of Clomid, which, fun fact, men can also be on Clomid, and that did not help anything. So in this meantime, I had decided to, in October of 21, I had decided to go from full-time nights to PRN at my forensic nursing position. And then I had gotten another job at radiation oncology to help supplement me not working full-time at doing forensic nursing anymore. I needed a break. I was starting to get burnt out, and night shift, not fucking for me. So I didn't resign from them. I just went down to PRN status. And then kind of all this stuff was going on in 2022, testing, yada, yada. And I was like, cool, I need to take a break for myself. And I decided to be proactive and get back on antidepressants. And I had a change of medicines, so I am back on my Celexa, which has worked great for me in the past. It's fertility friendly. And then I started seeing a therapist who specializes in trauma. And her and I have done what's called brain spotting. So very similar to EMDR, but you use like points in the room where your eyes kind of keep going to whenever you're thinking about the event. So anyway, it's very interesting. You can look it up on your own time. Maybe we'll talk about it further in depth. Type of therapies that I've done, type of therapies that Amelia has done.
That's an entire.
Anyway, so I was like, you know what? We're going to take some time off from this, get situated. I had decided to get another consultation with this place out in Colorado. Excuse me. And they are like a third of the cost of traditional fertility. So, and with that being said, it was like, okay, well, now more stress, more everything. And then they worked with us, and throughout all this in the meantime, my work-life balance just was not great. Forensic nurses were starting to take a toll on me, which I hadn't really recognized. And I had a really tough pediatric case over the summer. I believe it was the summer of last year. And that one hit me really hard. I actually talked in therapy about that one. That one definitely sticks with me. And I recognized that a lot of anger was starting to come up, a lot of comparison to, like, these people can have kids, can have multiple kids, they get taken into foster care, but I can't have any kids, sort of situation. So it was definitely a lot of negative self-talk, and didn't realize I was being, you know, self-sabotaging either. So I was also really unhappy at my radiation oncology job. It was just becoming more micromanaging of the doctor, and the nurses were so good at their jobs that they were then being asked to do the jobs of others. So, and on top of that, we were all struggling with our work. So in January, I decided to resign from that job. And that was really tough because, if you've been paying attention, that's the first job that I have resigned from without having the excuse of moving anywhere or, you know, anything. So putting myself first and making myself the priority was something that I was used to, but it was always with, okay, I am going from being a CNA to a registered nurse. I'm going for my master's degree. Okay, I'm getting specialized in this type of nursing. It was never because I was unhappy with the job completely. So even though I had jobs where I did want to quit, but you know, I was like, I can kind of muster through. This is okay. But this one, it was that. And then the past 6 months or so, I had really been thinking about forensic nursing insane and taking a break from that and stepping back from it. And I have to say, career-wise, that was the hardest decision I've ever had to make. Because I know how much of an impact I have with patients. And not doing it felt like I was giving up on the younger part of myself that I needed when I had my own trauma going on. So, you know, it took me well over a year of talking about it with Alex and Amelia and my therapist to really be like, okay, I need to do this because we have now gone through one round of egg retrieval for IVF. We're now needing to do another one. And this time it was an egg quality issue. It wasn't a sperm issue or anything like that. So I'm like, I need to be the healthiest I can be. And I left that job. My last day with them was July 6th, which, fun fact, just happened to be mine and Alex's 10-year anniversary of marriage.
Yay!
Yay! And
what an anniversary.
Yeah, what an anniversary. And it was extremely difficult. So I can't sit here and say that breaking up with a job is easy by any means. But what I can say is if you are fucking miserable, if you are definitely having those visceral reactions, like getting nauseous going to a job, if you are crying going to a job, coming home from a job, if you have coworkers that are just so fucking toxic that being in that environment makes you want to swallow glass, as Amelia would say, get the fuck out. And you can do it with couth and with grace. You tell them, thank you for this opportunity. I have learned a lot about myself. I have learned a lot professionally. You don't have to write a 2-page resignation paper, you know, resignation letter, excuse me, to... Yeah, you can write the manifesto afterwards.
I'm just kidding. That was a joke.
Thanks for the candy. You can leave it short and sweet. You do not owe your previous employer a reason as to why you're deciding to put yourself first. I did that earlier this year with the radiation oncology job, and my manager was a bitch about it and made it seem like I couldn't hack the job or it was just too much stress for me. It wasn't too much stress for me. It was fucking toxic. And there were excuses made about behaviors in the office. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to watch my coworkers be treated like shit. I'm not going to wait for me to be the next person to get treated like shit. So I'm out. Again, that was a hard decision because as a healthcare professional, we are there to help patients and to help people. And unfortunately, people pleasing is a huge personality flaw that I can say in myself, but also a lot of other healthcare professionals probably struggle with as well. So just make sure you are putting yourself first, you're prioritizing yourself. If you don't know what to do next, like,
Google it.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I Google everything. I'm just being an asshole.
Well, I mean, you know, like, Google a job, go to Indeed, whatever. But breaking up with a job does not have to be hard. I know a lot of times people don't have the luxury of quitting a job, not having a job, and being okay. Excuse me. Sorry, I had banana bread before we came down to record.
Oh, I'm so excited. I forgot there's still more.
And so, you know, I just wanted to kind of give this blurb about it. If you don't know how to write a resignation letter, you can look it up. There are plenty of examples on how to be a professional about it.
There's a few different Google searches, too, that will actually act like Mad Libs. It's fantastic. I've sent a few.
Nice. And, yeah, so if you are someone who needs to have a job set up before you quit a job, start looking as soon as you get that twinge of, ooh, I think I need another job. Even if it's like, yeah, I could kind of maybe like handle this. If you're thinking that, it's probably going to get worse, unfortunately. So, and actually Amelia and I have had this conversation before, especially with her working, you know, working here in Kansas and then living with us. I'm like, girl, fuck them. Fuck that. You need to quit. And she's like, yeah, but what if I don't have a job? I'm like, you're under my roof. Like, I don't fucking give a shit. Your happiness is more than you getting hurt at work or you being yelled at by people who live halfway around the fucking world and, you know, people who don't understand your job. And belittling you and talking shit about you and behind your back and being just total catty, toxic bullshit. So that's pretty much my blurb on breaking up with jobs. And I know Amelia wants to add some info for that. So yeah, that's kind of what I got. I quit jobs for myself this year, and that's the first time I've really ever done it. So it took me well over 15 years of working to finally put myself first. So, yeah.
With that being said, I wanted to jump in and just tell everyone how much we are thankful for you sharing and that. Yeah. This welcome. Is also the first episode you've completely ad-libbed, so I was silent most of the time because I wanted to see how you were doing. I just wanted to jump back on a few things that you said regarding how you were saying, like, if you start noticing that, like, you're nauseous or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to point out the signs for if you live with someone. Like, let's say it's not you.
Oh, yeah. Getting snippy.
Yep. So,
short-tempered.
It might not be as visceral as T's was. And I think yours were so visceral because you probably should have quit those jobs, like, a year ago. So, things such as the panic you would get when a phone would go off when you were on call.
Right.
Even if it was, like, my baby shark ringtone.
Mm.
You were getting...
Yeah, that song is fucking terrifying.
You're welcome. We'll get to me and my ridiculous ringtones at some point, I'm sure. It's also things like I noticed that for you, you were always, like, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late type of person. Mm-hmm. And then I started realizing when you and I, for that hot second in my life, when I was working a real job, I needed to leave at the same time as you and you were still in bed, going to, or, you know, like you almost never call out and then you'd call out more. And I'm all about taking mental health days, or not jumping at the opportunity to make more money, like, not covering for people.
Yeah, cause I was fucking sick of it.
You were burnt out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it also took a really long time for me and your husband to get through to you about how burned out you were because she made it seem like, you know,
one thing, and I'm gonna rat her out, is
Herder.
The expectations she has for herself are unattainable and not the expectations she has for other people. So it was okay for her to be like, Emilia, you need to quit that job. But when I was like, hey, T, you got to quit this fucking job, it was not the same
reaction.
I was
like, yeah, I know. Moving on.
And a lot of it, too, was also piggybacking off of what you said is, you know, pay attention to your partner. Are they snippy with you? Mm-hmm. Are they just tired? I mean, you were coming home every day and napping. Mm-hmm. Every day. And I nap all the time. Like, my day, your day revolves around food, and my day revolves around when I can go to sleep mm-hmm. again. And there were times there were nights I wouldn't see you, and we live in the same house.
Yeah. I do have to say some of that too was also triggered by a lot of the infertility stuff going on.
Yes. And so
definitely increased my depression level for sure. But I just had, it was just easier to go take a nap than having to be like, okay, let's talk about needing to leave this job.
And since you have decided to do those things, you've been able to identify the, yes, as we like to call, the depression flare up.
Yes.
And all of that. And it is good. And you know, I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
The other thing I did want to also piggyback off of you, what you said was mm-hmm. needing to quit a job and not having the luxury, because a huge battle you and I had about mm-hmm. you needing to quit SANE was you were like, I wasted my degree.
Yeah.
SANE meaning sexual assault nursing examiner. That's a really long word. I'm not going to say it. So I'm going to acronym, whatever. The fact that you were so upset about that.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think that I helped because, you know, duh. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That was a joke. But just because you were quitting a job, not your career.
Yeah. No, you definitely helped a lot with it. And especially saying it just like that. You're not quitting your career. It's just a job. It's just a job. And for me, I was so pigeonholed into, but what other fucking forensic nursing job can I do here locally? And you're like, yeah, but think outside the box. It can be consulting. It can be whatever. And then I thought about a previous manager who runs a telemedicine program. So, or helps to manage it, I should say. I was definitely very stuck on the idea that I was getting rid of this whole career.
Which, exactly. And the other thing, piggybacking yet again off you, because you made all these great points mm-hmm. and I'm just here for comedic relief, was for our listeners, is it's also okay if you need to take a break from your career.
Yeah.
Like, you're still a nurse, mm-hmm. but you're not dealing with those traumatic things.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking from experience as an EMT,
yeah.
I had spent my entire life wanting to be an EMT. And then while I was in the field, it was draining me.
Yeah.
Draining me. And I was becoming a person I was not proud of
mm-hmm.
because I'm such an empath.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize when you think of PTSD, you think of the military. Not disputing that the military mm-hmm. people do not have PTSD, but a lot of people don't realize first responders, medical staff, absolutely. Especially after COVID. But I also think you are, and I'm always gonna put you up and talk wonderful things about you, but like, there were some cases you'd come home like in the middle of the night and you'd come into my room and just break it down.
Mm-hmm.
And there were things that I'm like, I don't know how you do this, because mm-hmm. I would have punched someone in the throat. Like, I would have used a scalpel
yeah.
and taken like a phalange.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you didn't mention that SANE was also, you had to do suspect exams too. So knowing...
Honestly, those weren't even on my radar of being...
Right.
Well, like right now, thinking about it right now, not even a big deal. It was when I was doing a lot of them, but really I have, since we've lived here the past 3 years, I don't even think I've done an adult suspect. So.
And that's good. And,
you know.
But it's also just understanding too that you also leaving this job doesn't mean you left this job, because at any point in the next X amount of years, mm-hmm. you can be subpoenaed to court.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I don't, and like, these were things that I didn't know mm-hmm. until I moved in with you.
Yeah.
But the other thing I wanted to point out too is, like, you stayed within your field. So yes. like, okay, you stepped away from forensic nursing, but you are still a nurse.
Yeah.
But it's also okay. Granted, you have the luxury of being able to like mix around with your income.
Mm-hmm.
It's also okay if you need to just take a break from your career, from your general area of expertise.
Yeah, because for you,
because EMT. I was an EMT, and then I ended up, and I was doing a lot of, and then I went to being in the corporate, which I'm really good at. Admin, administrative assistant.
I was talking about you deciding to leave EMS.
Yeah, I left EMS right at the beginning of COVID, and I mean that was just the beginning of my downward spiral.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I moved here and went through numerous different jobs and all of that, because I've kind of always been like a gypsy in that sense of just mm-hmm. that. I mean, this is, since I've lived here, this is the longest job I've had, and mm-hmm. I'm happy.
Yeah.
And I work at a pet store.
Yeah.
And do I make great money? Oh my, no. I'm 33 years old. I'm 33 years old and I work at a pet store. But you know what? Every day I come home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, listen, today I met a dog named Daffodil.
Yeah.
I rolled on the floor with her. Yeah. It was lovely. Or I'll tell you how many Bernese dogs I met or whatnot. Or the time that woman came in with a gift for me because I helped
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
And that really fed my soul
mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't just needing a break from my quote-unquote career path or what I had expertise in, but it was also my divorce and all of this. Like, mm-hmm. I just needed something quote-unquote easy.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm not saying everyone has that luxury. I did. Because I live with you.
Yeah.
And also Kansas is the second cheapest state to live in.
Yeah.
However, you know, but it was able to get me out of that dark place. And now I'm applying to school and I want to, you know, make a career of my life.
Yes.
But that it's also okay to do that. Quitting a job does not mean you're quitting on yourself.
Yeah. And I think that was probably the hardest for me, because I was like, mama didn't raise no quitta. So.
And I think what it came down to for you, and again, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but.
You mean the high expectations that I have for myself? Yes, correct.
You're not wrong. I was getting to, because I remember that the night before you were ready to quit Sane and, you mm-hmm. know, with all the union bullshit and, mm-hmm. and whatnot, I remember just asking you, like, what's more important to you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you, and I remember because I was, as my therapist says, steamrolling you, quote unquote. Like, what do you want? What is going to make you happy? And you would start talking to him like, that's not what I asked.
Yeah.
What do you want? What do you want? What
and
do
I was
you want?
Like, I want a baby. And you're like,
there's your
cool.
answer.
And then there was also something that you said to me. You were like, cool, you want a baby. If this were your daughter, what would you say? And I was like, you son of a bitch.
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah. So I was like, yes, you're right. So I had actually talked to my therapist and I was like, okay, I'm going to work on my resignation letter. And then the week after I saw her, I was like, I did not work on my resignation letter. I'm like, but I am going to. And she's like, okay, great. And I was like, she's like, do you want to make a goal? And I was like, yes. How about by next Friday, I will have given my resignation letter. And then the next day I decided to just fucking rip it off like a Band-Aid and do it. So, yeah. And then my, that was back in June. And then, of course, my last shift I had of the same. I ended up having two back-to-back pediatric cases and pulled an 18-hour shift. And I was like, yeah, it's time. It's time to go. I'm like, this is no longer
fueling doing the
no, that's not how I felt about it. I was like, this is no longer sustainable, especially with trying to have a family and make a family and have a baby. So yeah.
And that was the beginning, July 6th to right now of Mercury in retrograde. Yep. A full moon every night. I don't know, something's weird.
10 days later. Yeah. And then, so that happened.
Oh my God, it's only been 10 days.
Literally. And then that Tuesday, so the 6th, was that
the Tuesday? 6th was a Saturday.
Yeah.
The Tuesday was the 9th.
9th. And then that was the evening we came home to soup. She had died. We think something had gotten her in the, when she had gotten out of the gazebo. I did not elaborate on that in my previous little PSA. So yeah, I think the past week and a half with mourning my forensic nursing job, mourning soup, all brought back things of mourning the embryo. Amelia had rough anniversaries come and go. So it's just been, it's been a lot, but we're still standing.
And this is also kind of how our life goes.
Truly.
We try to tell people, like, our life is always chaos. And like with Zach, BFF Zach, he had said, like, I thought you were bringing it upon yourself. Like, nope, mm-hmm. just sometimes, mm-hmm. sometimes the gods are just like, ooh, you guys have been smiling too long. Let me fix that.
You're having way too much fun.
And it was insane too, because during this time, when you and I almost never have chaos together, like, yeah. or at the same time.
Right.
And it was 10 days of you having your stuff. Then, because also in between this too, mm-hmm. was we had our quarterly meeting, mm-hmm. AKA.
I didn't even fucking get into that.
And we're not going to, but like we ended up having a family
meeting
quarrel. As we like to call them.
It wasn't a quarrel. It was a family meeting.
Where we just all disagreed on things. It came to a head. Mm-hmm. As T said, that Monday, so the day before Soup died, was the 10-year anniversary of my biological mother's death.
Mm-hmm.
The 13th, which would have been my second wedding anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
During this week, obviously, Soup had passed. And we mm-hmm. had our own issues with that.
Mm-hmm.
I also made a mistake in a group text.
Oh, yeah.
That almost cost me my job.
Yep.
And then found out, and then just had some issues, ongoing issues with my soon-to-be ex-husband's new girlfriend, divorce stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, but also, while this is all going on, not dealing in a bad way, but like mm-hmm. getting you ready for IVF round mm-hmm. two and those emotions that come with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you being gone for 3 weeks, it's just been pretty hectic. So yeah,
it's been a lot.
We do appreciate your patience, because I think even you and yes. I sometimes forget it has been a lot, and we cognitively understand that, but you and I are so used to yeah. me more so because you are
just, yeah, surviving in the trauma, you know,
yeah,
just...
like you do it with grace, I do it with poor coping skills. that we sometimes forget that yeah. we forget our own strengths, mm-hmm. and that
for sure.
So but I'm really proud of you for sharing
you.
All of this. I didn't expect you to go through your whole timeline, and I learned a lot about you, because yeah. again, as people start to learn, T and I's friendship really didn't get close until 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been friends since 2012. So yep. Learning a lot of this with you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to hopefully keep recording.
Yes.
Cue some episodes. T is going to ideally successfully show me how to do things.
Yes.
Not right now.
No, because we need to go into the pool.
Yeah. And yeah, but this was a Breakup Suck Part 2.
Yeah. Okay, well, everyone, thank you for listening. You can find us on Instagram at Bedsnacks and Bullshit.
You can also find us on Facebook at Bedsnacks and BS. That's Bedsnacks and capital B/S. I mean, yes.
BS.
God, Jesus. You can also email us at Bedsnacks, BS and BS podcast at gmail.com.
And I have started the Patreon.
This is news to me. Yay.
However, I have not published the page yet. Because the recording types, I cannot upload them. So we have to figure out how to get stuff there. So Patreon may just have to be paused at the moment.
It will eventually be there, and that's where we're going to put like our special bits.
Yeah.
Where like, you know, when you inevitably are pregnant, mm-hmm. I'm going to try all of your cravings, but not as a pregnant woman,
yes.
And give my rating for it, which I'm sure will go swimmingly.
Yes. Yes. It's just the recording software and the editing software we're using right now does not format the data into the types that Patreon
fucking
will
communists.
Accept. I know, it's bullshit.
In the meantime...
Yes, thank you, and enjoy your bed snacks.
Also, please rate and review and share the podcast, and keep up your bullshit.
Yeah. That too. Sure. Okay,
bye.
Bye.